Hi, this is Pastor Rob Summerall here, lead teaching pastor at Crossroads Baptist Church. You know, here at Crossroads, we have been blessed with a number of men who are very capable preachers of God's Word. Some of them are pastors who've either retired or they've moved on from different seasons of ministry, and they find themselves at Crossroads while they're resting and recovering. Other men are young men who aspire to ministry one day where they will serve the Lord, either as church planters or missionaries or lead teaching pastors. We came up with this idea of using their gifts and talents in a, what we call a preaching summit. We gave each one of them an assigned text from the book of James and a roughly 20-minute time spot where they could present the Word of God to us. We crammed 9 sermons into 5 different sessions, and boy, can I tell you, our church was blessed by this. The audio that follows this is one of the messages from that preaching summit. We hope that it will bless you in the same way that it's blessed us. We hope that you'll pray for these men, that God will use them in the days ahead. And listen, if you're looking for a place to worship, be sure to tune in after this sermon where you can find out more about how you can connect with Crossroads Baptist Church here in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. God bless you.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Stanley. I'm not going to do a long introduction. I'm the Family Ministry Associate here, and I'm excited to bring the Word here today. The cool thing about my job, getting to preach the Bible, and about all the men who are going to preach the Bible this week, is that we essentially get to mine for gold here in the Word, and then we get to come here and to share that with you guys. Like, that's exciting. I love being able to do this. And so I just want you to know, if you're here today, I know that in God's sovereignty, it's not by chance. In God's sovereignty, I know that there is life and there is riches in this word that we're about to read. And I hope that as we dig into this word tonight, that you all would find those riches and find that life that you can't find anywhere else. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to jump right into the book of James. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for today. Lord, we're so thankful for your word, Lord. It is the only truth, the only ultimate absolute truth that we have for our lives. God, I pray that as we see your word to us tonight, Lord, that we would just not hear words in a book, but that we would be transformed to know you and to love you, Jesus. We're here for you. Unless you move and unless you speak through your word, God, we have no hope. But I pray, speak to us now, Lord. We are listening, and we're here for you. We love you and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're going to be in James chapter 1. If you have a Bible, there's might be one in front of you. Use your phone, whatever works best for you. We're going to be in James chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 27. And so because of the time limit I have kind of the setup we have, we're going to spend most of our time looking at verses 22 through 27, but we're going to read it all and want to reference the first part a few times. So let me read for us, and we'll jump right in. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27 reads, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the word. So as we're looking at this, the structure of the word, it's good to have a lens through which we can kind of see this. Our focus is going to be verse 22, okay? So when you read the word and you're looking at arguments, you want to find the command and then work from there, right? So verse 22 is the command. It's the core from which the rest of our text today flows. And we're going to be looking at that. I wanted to share a story with you all that I think James is going to make a point about here. In high school, I had a friend, we'll call him Matt. Matt was a really good friend of mine. He was a Christian. Matt was actually a mentor of mine in my high school years. He was actually one of my pastors during my high school years, my early college years. And Matt and I would hang out. We would read the Bible together. We would talk about spiritual things. And I can honestly say that Matt was a big influence, a big reason why I came to faith. I know that some of you probably have that person in your life who's like, yeah, that person mentored me. For me, this was my mentor. This is the guy I looked to for spiritual help. Matt went to seminary. He studied Greek and Hebrew, and he had a top of a notch education. He knew theology. He knew the original languages. Like, this dude had it when it came to theology. This dude had it when it came to information. And Matt and his family moved away a few years ago, and he went to pastor somewhere else, and we lost contact and didn't talk to him as much. And last year, I got word that Matt actually had turned away from his faith, that he had turned away from Christ, and ended up actually cheating on his wife, committing adultery, and when offered the chance to repent and to turn back, he said, no, I want nothing to do with my family, and I want nothing to do with Jesus whatsoever. And I share that story with you all to let you know that Matt had all of this information up here, but that information, that theology, all of that head knowledge about God never got to here. It never got to here. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, man, there's no way that could ever happen to me. Like, I have good head knowledge of God. I know things about God. I'm close with God. If you think that can never become your life, I'll let you know this. Michael didn't think that either. Matt didn't think that either. Excuse me. He did not think that. And it can happen to anybody. And so this brings us to tonight's burning question that I hope to answer as we look at James. Tonight's burning question is this: are you informed or are you transformed? And the difference between these two things, what's at stake here, is eternity. The difference between being informed and transformed means everything for your life tonight. And I hope that by the end of this, you can look at your heart and see whether you are someone who just has information or you are someone who has transformation. And so, with that, I'm going to jump right into the book of James. In this passage alone, James, he uses the word to refer to God's word five different times. If you look at verse 18, you can kind of follow along with it. Every time you see the word, okay, if you have your Bibles open, every time you see the word, underline it, okay? It's in verse 18. It says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. It says it in verse 21. He says, James says, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. We see it in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. We see it again in verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who intently looks at his natural face in a mirror. And then if you look at verse 25, he uses different wording, but he's referring to the word. He says in verse 25, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And so I just want you guys to see that at the very forefront of this passage, if we're talking about not just being hearers of the word, but being doers, the word must be central to that. The word has to be central to that. And this word that James is talking about here, it's referring to the gospel message, the good news of Jesus, right? That Jesus has died for sinners and he has been raised from the dead and he is able to forgive anyone who would trust in him. This is the word that James is referencing. And it has to be central. So that brings us to our number one point today. Main point one is the aim of God's word is not merely information, it's transformation, right? The aim of God's word is not merely information, it is transformation. In other words, Crossroads, we have this book, we have the word of God, not just so we can have more head knowledge, right? We don't come together on Sunday nights just to read the word and to hear it so we can get knowledge and we can be smarter than the person next to us. God has given us his word so that the information in our heads can actually go to our hearts, right? You see this in verse 22. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. See, here's a scary truth. And as I mentioned with my friend Matt, this is tragically what happened with him. This is a scary truth. You can have great theology and still be completely lost. Right, you can know all the right things about God, and you can know all the scripture about God, and still not know God. Okay, and unless we realize that, man, we are stepping on dangerous grounds. We can be just like the people that scripture say are always learning, but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. And so would it never be said of Crossroads that we had a passion for knowledge, but we had no passion to live it out? Would that never be said of Crossroads, ever? That brings us to main point two. There is a cost to being informed, but not transformed. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, yeah, I can just know things about God, without being transformed, I can know these things. James says there is a cost to being informed but not transformed. And that first cost, we find it in verse 22, and it's this. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. The first cost of being informed but not transformed is you fool yourself, actually. The word here translated deceived in verse 22 gives off the idea of misleading. Right? And in this context particularly, it would be misleading yourself. James is saying here, if you really think it's all right to hear God's word and not live it out, you're absolutely fooling yourself. You're just tricking yourself. Like, look at the imagery he uses in verse 23 and 24. It says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. You see, James says that the word of God is like a mirror. And when we look in God's word, we see our real selves. And often we don't like to see that picture of ourselves. Right? When you look in the word, you see the real person. When I look in the word, I see the real Stanley. Not the Stanley the world tells me I am. Not the Stanley that my friends tell me that I am, that my parents tell me that I see the word that God says that I am. I see that truth. And in the same way, when we see our sinful self, we know we need to change. In the same way, James says that to hear the word and to not change our actions based on what we see is like a man looking into a mirror, walking away and completely forgetting what he looks like. There's a cost to this. You fool yourself. The second cost of being informed but not transformed is this: your religious status is worthless. Now, I've heard some insulting things in my life, right? But if somebody were to walk up to me and tell me that my religion that I practice and I love is worthless, like, that's fighting words. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody walks up to you and is like, hey man, you know, the religion you practice, that faith you have, it's worthless. It's like, James is saying this, right? It's super offensive, but it's true. And I'm not gonna linger here because the point is pretty straightforward. This point is in verse 26. James says, if anyone thinks he's religious and he doesn't bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. James is saying, if you base your religiosity off of anything, if you base your religiosity off of anything less than heart transformation, your religion is worthless. See, true religious worth is not found in how informed we are. Our true religious worth is found in how transformed we are. And as you think about this truth, like not only personally, would it be a tragedy to come to the end of your life and to realize that your religion was worthless because all you had was head knowledge? That's a tragedy. But think about how this affects others. Let me ask you this. Are you the reason that people think Christianity is worthless? I think James would have us ask this question. Your life right now, can people look at your life and point to you as the reason why they think Christianity is absolutely worthless? There is a cost to being informed but not transformed. Main point number three. There is a glorious reward to being transformed. There is a glorious reward to being transformed. We see this in verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, we know that's the word, the law of liberty, and they persevere, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So here's the reward. Here's what happens. The reward is joy. James says that when a man who hears and obeys the word is blessed. In other words, when somebody is transformed and their life actually lives out the word of God and they obey the word of God, there's a supernatural joy that comes up in your heart when you've been transformed. In verse 25, this word blessed refers to, it's to happiness and to delight. And it calls to mind the man of Psalm 1. The blessed man of Psalm 1 who delights in God's word and who walks according to God's word. And here's what I'm going to clarify what James is not saying, okay? This doesn't mean that, like, if you obey, let me try to say this correctly. This doesn't mean that a person who obeys God's word is blessed because they're doing better than other Christians, right? The blessing doesn't come because you're more obedient than somebody else. No, listen, the point here I think that James is making is that God's word is so good and so right and so true that obedience to his word always results in blessedness. Always. For the Christian, obedience to God's word always brings a supernatural joy. That's the way that God has designed it. See, God's word as we find it in the Bible is what is best for us. And when we obey it, we are blessed. I think Randy Alcorn says it best. He's a Christian author. He says, we will not consistently choose God's way until we believe God's way is best. We won't. So Crossroads, just think about this. How many times do we forfeit God's blessing in our lives because we simply hear the word and we don't live it out. And I want to ask a question, like, why do we not live this word out? Like, we're looking at this, if we're honest, we can say oftentimes we're hearers of the word and we are not doers. So why is this? And I think there's a pretty simple answer to this, and I think it's this. I think we often forget the weight of what we are being called to obey. Because you see, what we have here in the Bible is God's very word to us. Like what we hold here, what we have, this is God's word. The same God who by a word spoke creation, the same God who by a word sent his son Jesus to die for sinners, the same Jesus of who Peter says, Savior, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I think the reason we have such a difficult time obeying God's word is because we fail to realize that it is God's inspired, authoritative, perfect word. I think we fail to realize what we are being called to obey, or maybe more precisely, who we are being called to obey. I think this brings us to a convicting truth today. It's this: a small-scale view of God's word leads to small-scale obedience. Snail. A small-scale view of God's word leads to small-scale obedience. In other words, if you come to this book and you just treat it like it's another piece of literature, you come to this book and you just treat it like it's just a book that has helpful tips for your life. If you come to this book and you say, it's a good book, but it's secondhand to what I know about life and I know what's best, then your devotion to this book will be absolutely cold. If we don't see this word as the ultimate authority over everything in our lives, then we will not pay any mind to it. A small-scale view of God's word leads to small-scale obedience. This brings us to our last point today. It's main point number 4. There is a glorious result to being transformed. It's a glorious result. We see this in verse 27. Before I read that, I want to ask this. Do you want to know what the transformed life looks like? Like we talking about, like not being here, but being transformed. Do you want to see what happens when information in our head becomes transformation in our heart? Look at verse 27, what happens. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. In summary, the result of a transformed life is a holy life that is devoted to living for others. Like, do you see this? Like in a person with mere information turns their eyes inward to look at their self, to look at their knowledge, to look at how awesome they are, but a transformed person turns their eyes outward to others. So as you're in here this evening and you look at your own heart, are your eyes turned in on the information that you have about God, or has that information got to your heart so it transforms you so your eyes are turned outward to others? You see, the truth is we're so sinful and we're so selfish that no amount of information could ever cause us to live for somebody else. Like for the students in this room, there's no amount of Bible knowledge, information that will keep you from pursuing immorality in this polluted world. There is no amount of information, husbands, that you could find that would keep you from that sin of temptation, that sin of adultery. There, whatever your case is, wherever you are this morning, there's no amount of information that can keep you from that. And do you know why? Like, what happens? A holy life devoted to living for others can only come through supernatural transformation. And when this happens, it is glorious. It's glorious. And you know why? Because when your answer to why you live a holy life, when your answer is to why you live for others, why your answer is why you are faithful to your wife and to your kids, when your answer is you want to be faithful on your taxes, when you want to be have integrity in the workplace, when the only answer for any of that in your life is the fact that Jesus has transformed you, that shows him to be the glorious Savior that he is. Do you see that? This brings me to the last point today. It's this: the gospel is not about obeying to be transformed, but rather being transformed to obey. I just hope if you don't hear anything, you hear that point. The gospel is not about obeying to be transformed, but rather being transformed to obey. Like, do you see the difference in that? This is what makes the gospel so sweet. You can ask any other religion in the world how they get right with God, and they will tell you that you have to do enough good things to get right with God. They would say this: obey enough, and when you obey enough, then you'll be transformed. The gospel says the opposite. The gospel says you can't obey enough, and your only hope is to be transformed by God's grace. And so, as I bring this to a close, as I ask for you to consider your heart tonight, are you a person who is informed, or are you a person who is transformed? That's really the two types of people in this room tonight. There's only two. There's a transformed person, and there's not a transformed person. And if you're in here tonight, and you know that you have head knowledge, you know things about God, you know things about church, you've grown up in church, but no transformation has taken place in your life at all, can I just tell you this, that Christ can transform you right where you sit? Like the amazing thing about the gospel is that obeying the word isn't how we get to Christ, because we can't. Like, we disobeyed it, right? We're saved because Christ has obeyed the word in our place, and we can trust in him who's done it perfectly. And so if you haven't been transformed tonight, Christ can transform. You can take that information that you've heard tonight, and he can put it down into your heart and give you life. But for the other people in here, you are transformed, but maybe you're just struggling, saying, I have this head knowledge, and I'm having a hard time living my faith out. I would encourage you as well. There is grace in Christ for you tonight. Christ went to the cross to die for your hypocrisy and my hypocrisy. When we hear the word and we don't do it, Christ, if you're in Christ, he has forgiven you for that sin, and there's grace in him, and he can further transform you into being somebody who lives by the word, who's not just a hearer, but a doer of the word. So I hope, as we've gotten God's word tonight, you've been able to look at your heart. I know as I prepared this, my heart was convicted to see where my heart was. Am I just informed, or have I been transformed? I want to pray for us, and then Nate Brady is going to come up here, because I ate probably a ton into his time. And so I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then we'll bring Nate Brady up. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you have called us to be not just hearers, but doers of the word. Lord, thank you that you have provided a way for us, even though we have not been obedient, to be made right with you. Lord, we're so thankful for the gospel truth that is not by how much we obey that we're transformed, but that we are transformed to obey. Lord, we're so thankful for that gospel truth. Lord, I pray that as we go further into your word tonight, that you would convict us, that you would challenge us, that you would grow us, and that you would be glorified ultimately in that, Christ. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this sermon, which took place during our 2020 Preaching Summit. We invite you to join us live every Sunday morning at 401 West Poplar Street in Elizabethtown.
We have life groups for all ages that begin at 9:15, and our worship service starts at 10:30. Please stop by our Welcome Center, and we'll be happy to help you get to the right place. For more information about our church, who we are, or to learn more about opportunities for worship, visit us online at crossroadsetown.com.
If you need someone to talk to or to pray with you, you can also find contact information about our elders, deacons, and staff. Any of us would love to hear from you and pray with you.
We pray that this sermon has blessed you the way that it has blessed us, and we look forward to meeting you soon. God bless you.